But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Scott Brennan again, Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, another podcast to drop a bomb on your ear holes.
Here we go, baby.
Okay. We are on episode 30, Michael Berlew.
I know, man.
Michael Berlew has been on the podcast for about five episodes now.
Six.
He's kind of become my wingman here.
Yeah, you know, but you need a little help, so the Burl showed up. What can I tell you?
Berlew, what are you doing December 13th?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I believe I'm going to be in the Sussex County area. Do you have any ideas what could be around there?
You're going to be in Sussex County, Berlew? Sussex County, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Well, I have an event for you, okay?
All right, do tell.
Well, on December 13th, Verbal Shenanigans will be recording live in Augusta, New Jersey, in Sussex County.
Oh.
What for, you ask?
Yeah, what for?
Berlew, do you like beer?
Well, of course. I got one right now.
Berlew, do you like food?
Yes, quite so.
Do you like fire pits?
Ooh, you're enticing me.
Do you like combining these things and looking at ugly sweaters and Christmas apparel and celebrating the holiday season?
You're just blowing my mind, man. You better tell me where I should go.
Well, you should go and come see us at the Big Brew Festival, again, in Augusta, New Jersey. A lot of the proceeds go to a very good cause, helping out the Newton Fire Museum.
Oh.
We are going to have Dan Finkel from the Fire Museum on our podcast. We are currently working to iron out maybe getting some brewers on there, having some fun around the podcast, having some fun with the people who are attending, and also hopefully having some fun ourselves by the end of it.
That sounds awesome. Now, if I wanted to buy a ticket and save a little money, do you have any advice for me on what I should
You're
do?
You're crazy.
I'm not sure.
Before we even get to that, let's talk about a little bit more that's even there. Over 200 beers, Berlew.
Jesus.
200 goddamn beers.
Mm-mm-mm.
200 beers. Seven food trucks, okay? Seven food trucks, including, but not limited to, the award-winning Cow and the Curd and their Wisconsin Battered Cheese Curds.
Okay. That sounds intriguing.
Sounds great. The Empanada guy is going to be there.
I love empanadas.
Oink and the Moo Barbecue.
Barbecue's okay. Awesome, bro.
Waffle Delice. Okay. Fired Up Flatbreads.
All right.
And the Taco Truck.
They're based out of, they have a place in Morristown. I freaking that a lot.
There you go. So not only are you going to be eating goddamn great food, drinking 200 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you drink 200, then we really got to record because it'd be priceless. Right.
But Berlew, I got to do my job here, man. I'm the wingman.
Berlew, you have different options. Let's say you're not a drinker. Okay?
Do we have to?
Yep. Let's say you're not a drinker.
You
can attend this event. Come enjoy the food. Bring your buddies. Just have a good time out.
Yeah.
Four. $10, okay?
That's a hell of a deal, man.
$10 to get into the festivities, okay?
All right.
Now, Berlew, you want to drink the beer. You want to drink it.
If you don't mind.
Okay. The session goes from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and general admission is $55, okay? Now, 200 beers from tons of different breweries, okay? Now, Berlew, let's say you're, you really want to live it up a little bit.
I like the luxury of
you
the
want
life.
To live it up. You can purchase a VIP ticket, $80.
Okay.
But what the VIP ticket gets you is 20 additional special craft beers, okay? It also gets you food, from Forte Italiano in Sparta and Trinity in Newton.
That sounds awesome, man.
Okay, now, let's say you were asking me you want to save some money. Well, yeah. I got something for you. You go on the site,
okay,
and you type in shenanigans in the promo code. You get $10 off your ticket. Designated drivers, that means you go for free. Okay. General admission, $45, and VIP would then come to $70. Now, I have some bad news, Berlo.
What's up?
Okay. If you don't purchase your tickets soon, prices start to increase.
Oh.
Okay. So, if you purchase your tickets before November 29th, so we got about 2 weeks, okay, tickets will be the prices we just said. After that, they start to increase, so I would suggest you get it, and especially if the event sells out, and you will not be in there drinking sweet, delicious Burros.
That'd be a crime against humanity.
But anyway, we will be there, hopefully having some fun, okay?
I know we'll have fun.
We'll definitely have fun, but having fun with you people, hopefully have some things to get out, play some games with people, and just overall have a good time, and that's the Big Brew Festival.
Okay. It's going to be an awesome day, man.
Yes. So, Berlo, we just came back from...
This
comedy, whatever you want to call it, career or hobby, whatever we consider ourselves at this point, want to pursue stand-up comedy. This art comes with just waves of awesome and waves of weird and strange. And there's ways to take good and bad from, I guess, anything at this point. We just came back from a show at the Vapor Room where we did... a podcast,
the Ghost
one,
Cast.
Two, three episodes ago, the Ghost Cast for Halloween, and we did the show, and it was supposed to be a benefit for a local animal shelter, mm-hmm. and there were two people there.
Yes.
Two.
I counted. I agree with your counting.
But we, we stood strong and delivered our material and... To the two people there, they were good sports about it. You know, they didn't get charged. And John Sweeney, Larry Goldberg, yourself and I were the comedians. Melissa Allen was there running the show. And it turned out to be more fun than I thought it would be. We were actually kind of dreading it because we thought there wasn't going to be a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm. We were right.
Yes, we were right on that part. But I guess what it comes down to is... Either way, it's getting up in front of people, even your peers, whatever you want to say, and delivering your material and you're combing through material and, you know, whether it's 2 or 200, you know, you still got to try to bring it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the way to look at it is, even though there's just two people there, I mean, those two people showed up for a show, so you got to... It's one of the hardest things people say do about comedy when you come to a show and there's barely anybody there, but you just got to sit back and be a professional and go, they came for a show, you're there,
yep.
Give it as best you can and make them feel homely and enjoy it. And that's what we kind of did tonight.
When you think about it, it's a couple that came out and took their Friday night. That's where they decided to go. So... You know, and it was at 7:30. They could have went to dinner, a movie, a burlesque show, whatever they wanted. And they came to see comedy. So it ended up being pretty funny because Melissa had brought her dog, Freddy. Huge dog. Huge. Great Dane, black chocolate lab mix, something like that. Sweet, sweet dog. I was doing my set. I went on second, and I couldn't help it. I was just having fun up there, like, you know, delivering material. If the people didn't laugh, just laughing at myself and, like, you know, saying how many minutes I got left. But as I'm in the middle of, I forget which joke it was. It was one of the ones that, like, actually has a pretty decent punchline.
Was it the shower one?
No, it was previous to that. It was why I was telling the bracelet story.
Ah, yes.
Which is, oh, it was like right when I was like handing the bracelet. This probably doesn't mean anything to anybody, but I do a bit about a weird thing that happened to me at school. I don't like to tell all the material on the air because Ellen got so much. But as I'm getting ready to deliver the punchline, the dog comes right in my crotch as I'm about to deliver. And it just, I don't know. It was just funny.
Beautiful timing.
Yeah. Just really funny. But I don't know. But then last night we did New Talent Night over at Scotty's. Mm-hmm. We got called. You know, they needed some extra guys. And you know, the crowd was 30, 40, something like that.
I'd say about 40-ish.
Yeah, 40-ish. And it turned out to be a great show. I had a great time. Our buddy Johnny Watson was hosting. There were some guest spots from Rob Eppel, Carolyn Briggs, Melissa Allen.
Buddha.
And Buddha closed the show out. So, you know, there was good comedians there. The crowd, you know... When Johnny went on, I thought they were going to be stiff, but then, you know, he warmed them up in about 5-6 minutes, and they were a good crowd the rest of the night.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about New Talent Night, it's what we call a bringer show, where pretty much the audience is reliant on somebody literally bringing people, and you always get concerned, because that night, like going in there, I got there early, and they said they only had like 11 reservations there to start with.
Right.
And then as the night went along, a lot of people showed up, and a lot of people showed up for like one comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a temperamental thing, because sometimes some of the people think like, well, I can't laugh at the other comedians because I gotta laugh at my buddy who's up there and like be really loud, because then the booker's gonna see that and he's gonna get booked for all these shows and so forth. But they came to a show wanting some comedy and they reacted. It was a wonderful crowd, very good nights. I think we both had very good sets,
yep.
Very reactive from the crowd. And I mean, as that high went, I mean, tonight was a little bit low. I mean, I was kind of the same way. I was over here. You and I were looking at each other like, you want to prep for this? And we're both looking at each other, I don't know. Because even with
the... Well, let's face it. We were just being lazy. We should, you know,
yeah.
Either way, we should have...
been ready.
We should have prepped. And that would have just helped us write and maybe get one point of feedback from each other. But...
I mean, we're still growing comedians. I mean, I've only done it for a year. You've done it a little less than a year, right,
Scott? Well, I did in college and a little bit post-college, but I don't really – I think I was saying to you last night, I don't even consider that doing comedy, because I had nothing to talk about when I was 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't. That's why, like – I think it's great that young comedians get up there. But, you know, it's really hard. Like, there's no struggle in your life at that. Well, for most kids.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, some guys are amazing at 22. Some of the greatest, but.
Hell, we went to the Music Den. There was a kid there freaking 17 years old, and he said he's been doing it for a couple years. I mean, more power to the kid. I mean, he has some good stuff there. I mean, obviously, there's some stuff. It's like, okay, I've heard it before, but. The kid had great presence on stage, and that's one of the key things people forget about comedy. It's not just having good jokes and all. You got to have a presence up there where somebody says, I want to keep listening to you.
The hardest part. I enjoy writing a lot, like writing things onto paper or whatever, documents, and finding that delivery and that, you know. You can kill for 4 minutes, but then you got 8 minutes left on your set or whatever. You gotta hold the attention the whole time. That's some of the hardest parts, I find.
Yeah, I mean, I will not deny one of the biggest struggles for me in that first year was getting my nervousness out. And I mean, I still have the nervousness before. You kind of joked about it before. Maybe we'll get into it a little later.
Yep.
But I mean, on stage, that's the. The best thing is I'm feeling comfortable on that stage. I mean, even like tonight, I mean, I didn't prepare as well as I wanted to, but kind of get in the mood of just laughing at just having two people there, having a big dog running around. Like, even before the act, I was holding on to the dog, and the dog was dragging me on a chair. Like,
yes.
It was some kind of like Eskimo sled race,
yes.
You know? And I just kind of like sat back and like, all right, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be comfortable. And the mic was kind of cutting out tonight. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to use the mic. I'm not going to get on stage because I saw a couple of times you almost came close again to knocking yourself out like the first time we were up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sat on the chair. I looked directly at the people. I acknowledged the other comedians and Sweeney's wife there. And I just sat back and relaxed. And I was shocked when you guys were saying, hey, you got the light. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I just got up here. It's like, no, you've been up there for like 23 minutes. So
right.
It just comes with time, people.
Yeah, it's probably the most rewarding and what's the word for like breaking down some like it can give you the biggest highs and then give you the biggest gut punch. The same it could be in the same goddamn night if you did two shows. It could be you were killing one night, mm-hmm. next night you could go do that same material to a different crowd and get punched right in the face, you know? Exactly. It's like but that's what's so interesting about it, because every single night is completely different.
And that's what makes the best comedians, really. I mean, you never heard a comedian go, no, from the time I started to the time I end, everybody loved me, everybody loved my jokes, I did
and if they
jokes.
Do say that, that means they're full bullshit. Of shit, you know?
I mean, you need that slap in the face to go, no, you can do better.
Yes. You need, like, I mean, you need so much, but it's like, you know, it's just a thing that you could be the top of your game, and if the crowd is not right, if it's something's off with them, if it's the wrong mix of people, if there's a bunch of drunks in the crowd, it's you Sweet never know. People. One person can throw a comedian off, you know, like it's.
I'll never forget like one of the probably like when I first hooked up with Johnny and he took me out to like some places. I'll never forget like one of the weirdest experiences. I mean, this is probably one of the best stories you can get as a bomb and not be like a bad bomb story, but we drove 2.5 hours into Pennsylvania. We were in like the backwoods at some dive bar, which is like the 50th anniversary of this like coal miners bar. And they split the audience. They had the audience to the left. They had the audience to the right. They had a TV on. It was playing the Mythbusters. And I went up there to do my guest spot, and I was feeling good about myself. I literally went 8 minutes of pure silence.
Yep.
And the only time somebody acknowledged something, I did one of my jokes. It was like I'm not sure you heard my locomotion joke.
Yes.
But pretty much, I ended with, oh, come on, and do the locomotion with me. And there was quiet, and then all of a sudden, a guy goes, oh, I get it. And it was almost like, you could have booed me, and I would have felt better.
You know what I find the worst? When I'm like, I'm feeling really confident, and I'm like, I'm going to kill the night. I feel good. I feel loose. You know, and you just get up there, and just nothing. You know, there's just nothing.
You just want to go, what the fuck, people?
And you felt so good 1 minute before, and then as soon as the flop sweats start going, the fucking anxiety starts, the forgetfulness starts. Like, and I think to me, like when I watch, you know, like more seasoned, better comedians, it's like, it's their ability to adjust, you know, that I really envy. Because like to me, it's like if I forget a line or if I you know, didn't deliver something the way I wanted to, it gets in my head right away. It's like,
I mean,
that ability to just delete and just keep moving is like, I'm so envious of that. And hopefully it's coming.
Think about it. It's the amnesia of, I don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I'm caring about what this joke is going to deliver right here.
It's funny, like, I was just talking to you right before we started recording. You know, you think of this as like, yeah, I love to do this for a living, you know? Mm-hmm. It's got to be so hard to ever make it to that level where the only thing you do is stand-up comedy.
The only way you can really do it is if you're, like, the headliner of headliners, I got to think. Like a Louis C.K. where it's like,
well, yes.
No, I can go to some small town in Missouri on a Tuesday night and sell out.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking at the people we know right now, as much as we admire them, at the same time, we kind of go, wow, how do you do this?
Yeah, like, you know, like, you say you're a headliner that's working, and, you know, people, they're not making thousands and thousands of dollars per show. You know, it's a couple hundred bucks here and there, you know, like, some are less than others, and, you know, it's, you think about that, and you go, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's good for the amount of time, like, the pay per hour, or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of hours in the day. There's mortgages, there's bills, there's electric bills, there's everything else. And, you know, you're not working 7 days a week. I don't know. I mean, even the best comedians, I don't think, are working that often. No. Yeah, they're touring, and yeah, they get a lot of shows, maybe 5 days a week. But say you're a decent headliner, and you're making $300, you know, a show. That's not bad, $400, whatever. Times that by five, it's $1,500, you know. You know, that's not crazy money, you know what I mean? Like, that's not like, yeah, that's nice.
And if you think about 5 days is pushing it, because like we say, I mean, obviously Friday and Saturdays are the big show nights, but how many, like, really big shows do they have Sunday through Thursday? And how often do they come out? And do those shows really bring in the people where they can give you a 300, or maybe it's a 200, maybe it's a 100?
Yeah. And then, we're not talking, when we're talking like this, we're not talking the CKs and the Nortons and the Bill Burrs and of the world. We're talking like local headliners who do a couple states and, you know, travel around and are working comedians. But, like, for instance, I just brought up Jim Brewer's tour thing, which I'm
Jim
sure
Brewer's
he's
twerking. What?
Jim Brewer's twerking. Look it up. No.
Nice.
Okay.
He had a lot of pot. Well, now, he must have been off the pot to have the energy to twerk.
He actually, it's funny, it's interesting you said it. Like, he actually, like, in interviews, he smoked pot, but he said that he was never, like, a mega pothead, but he's got that look. He calls it the Brewer look, and he does this great bit about how his daughter, his second or third daughter, got the Brewer look. and it's just really, it's really funny. But he's, you know, he's one of my favorite comedians, if not, you know, possibly my favorite, because I've seen him so many times, and he's reinvented himself so many times. Like, people think of Jim Brewer, they think of Half-Baked and Goat Boy and Saturday Night Live stuff. They have no clue. The guy has done so... He's one of the good people in comedy. Yeah. He is such a family-oriented man and does, like, really great things. And if you've seen his documentary, he took his dad, who was, at the time, was, like, 88 years old, out on the road and just did a documentary, like, taking care of his father and doing comedy. He'd bring his dad out on stage sometimes. And if you heard him on O&A talking about how he takes care of his dad, and he would, you know, shit his pants all over the place and he'd have to clean it up in public. And his mom has, like, dementia. She's in a home. And in the last, like, I think it was last month, his dad died, who he talks about him, like, so passionately. And then his sister died, like, 3 weeks later. Like,
I remember that.
Terrible, yeah. Terrible stuff. So I always look up to Jim Brewer. I don't know. But even his schedule is November 15th. So that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. December 5th. Newton, New Jersey.
Oh. Does he get a podcast?
I might be trying to get tickets for that. There's no buy tickets thing. But December 5th, December 26th. January 15th, 16th, 17th, 22nd, 24th, 30th. So we just spanned 2 months, like 9 gigs, something like that. Then 30th, 31st. Now, of course, he's probably making a couple thousand at his level, or at least a thousand, you know, like that. But that's not a lot of work. You know, that's not working every night, like, pulling in tons of money. So people don't realize that. But I think that's why it's so important to, like, diversify yourself, to do the podcast, the radio shows, the videos, the movie, like, if people are into acting and stuff. So, I don't know. It's really interesting because you see these people and they're, like, the top of their game. Which reminds me, I wanted to record a comedy special tonight. Shit. Sebastian Maniscalco's new special was on tonight. But it, I have to believe a lot of comedians are not what you think, what the average person thinks they're doing.
Well, and as we talk about cost, I mean, we have to factor in there. I mean, a lot of times you just take a gig wherever it is, so it could be as hour and a half, 3 hours, six, wherever the gig is, the gig is. Then you also add to it, if they're not working, a lot of times after they're writing, they're going out to mics, whether it's in like the big cities, New York City, or something local here. I mean, you just accumulate the gas mileage going out. Some of these places, I mean, you're on the road so much, you're eating out versus, you know, making a meal, which is cheaper. It all adds up.
It does. And, it does.
And that 300 starts dwindling down to 200s and 100s. And
well, Brewer, like I said, he did this interview with the ONA where he was talking about his mom and his dad's health care and how much he was paying to put him in these homes. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was talking about how he has this one sister. I don't know if it was the sister that died, but one sister who was, you know, did shitty things. It was trying to get at his money and, like, you know, and he was saying, like, I'm torn at, you know, like, he was basically saying, like, there's not, basically admitting there's not money here. Like, and you think of him, like, you think of him as one of the big ones, you know, like, and he's like, dude, you know, like, why do you think I'm tour? Like, he would keep making jokes, like, why do you think I'm going on tour or playing this show, you know? I don't think it's as good as I mean, I would say guys like the upper echelon are probably making disgusting money per night. Like, but that's that, like, if they put a special out or they're booked, like, they're selling out MSG or selling out theater, like, full gigantic theaters. And, like,
most
what are you talking
about? Are, like, predetermined prices. It's not even like, oh, you have to sell X amount. It's like, all right, here's the cash. Show up. We'll sell the tickets.
So, like, at this point, like, I think in my head it's like Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Louis C.K., probably someone like Amy Schumer is making a killing, Daniel Tosh, probably guys who are just, you know, so well known at this point. And then, of course, probably like legends like Jay Leno is probably killing it down. I think he's doing like AC a lot, like, now.
Yeah.
Just killing.
Well,
probably.
He always said, like, when he did the Tonight Show, he's like, he said, I pay my bills doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. So all those weekends, he would go over to, like, Las Vegas and do his stuff. That was paying for his mansions and his cars and everything. Yeah. So basically, he was banking Night Show money. Tonight Show.
Banking Night Show money. That's my goal, Berlou. I want to bank Night Show money.
Let's do it, man. After episode 35, I think we'll be set.
That's correct. Yeah, so I don't want to bore everyone with just straight comedy talk, but Berlou,
talk about me.
Yeah, you know, I've been hanging out with Berlou a lot, a lot, like 2-3 days a week. I see
pretty
this guy.
Much, yeah, we've been,
you know,
really
we've
been bonding.
Whether we write or we've just hung out or we just have some beers or go to a show, Berlou, you're a weird dude.
I know that,
but I like you.
I'm a lovable weird.
I like
you,
but
a key thing.
I have caught you doing some strange things as of late.
well, we won't talk about it, will we?
Yeah, no, no. We'll move on now.
Yeah.
No.
What's the next subject?
One thing I love about you, and I was talking with Johnny today. We were laughing about it. We were like, I said, I love watching Berlou get ready for a set. It's like one of my favorite things to do. You do this thing where you start to get like real quick, like in your pacing kind of like, you know, pacing back and forth.
Yeah.
And then you almost like last night at Scotty's, you were like jumping up and down and smashing your fists together. The only thing I could think of was Ray Lewis. The only thing.
Which you posted on my site and all, but people are kind of agreeing with you on that.
If you know Ray Lewis, the murderer player from the Ravens.
I also murder before every set.
Yes. He came out and did this ridiculous dance and was screaming in the camera and all this shit. Berlou goes into this, like, game mode. Like, it's like, you know, for him, it's like it's the playoffs. It's the Super Bowl, you know? And I love it. It's, like, intent. Like, and I get into more of, like, I just sit and think. Like, I'm not really paying attention to the comic on stage. I'm starting to you know, mm-hmm. go through my head a little bit. But Berlo's like more like a, like I'm more like, I guess, cerebral getting ready. Berlo's like physical, like his whole body gets into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Well, I mean, it goes back to kind of what I was talking about, like my earlier year comedy. I was just a nervous wreck. I think that was my biggest thing. I was always a joker, if you will, but I was just always nervous about stuff. Like I tell people, it usually takes me about 3 months to get comfortable around somebody to like kind of let loose and stuff like that.
I could see it happening now.
Yeah.
With me.
And it's just one of those things with comedy. I did it for like quite a while, for a year. I took Johnny's course. Right. I mean, I had all right material. I'm not going to act like, oh my God, I was great and all
that.
No
one has good material when they start.
But, you know, it was just one of those things where it's like I kept on getting so nervous, and I know it was coming out in my performance.
Right.
And kind of like when we went down to Maryland, like Johnny kind of yelled at me. It's like, dude, you got to let loose up there. You can't be this nervous wreck up there. So it was almost, it's almost become like my standalone kind of get ready for the set. Like I'd start looking over my stuff, and this is jokes I've told 20, 30, 40 times. And
right.
all. I know it in my head,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of psych myself. I'm going over every bit of my set, and all. I'm still mouthing my jokes to myself, and all, and people have noticed that, and you have noticed
I love
that.
It. I love it. It actually pumps me up.
And before the set, I start getting a little bit more nervous, and then I kind of go back to the yoga thing we always joke about. I start getting psyched up. I take a kind of like a deep breath through my nose. I blow it out through my mouth, and I just kind of bust my fists together. And then when they say my name, I just start clapping, and yep. I'm in that zone.
That's good.
And then once I get that first laugh in, it swoops.
Yeah. Autopilot.
Yeah.
Now,
what could you be talking about next?
Now, one is this awesome. The way we're podcasting right now. I'm sitting in a couch with a TV table and whatever you call these things. What do you, a TV table? I don't know.
Yeah, a TV table.
Like a
TV tray.
Like TV dinner, like you would eat around. Mm-hmm. And I got the mic in front of me, and I'm sitting, you know, with my beer and my computer and the recorder. Berlo is laying like he's doing a centerfold shot. Like Mr. November.
You like what you see here?
No, I don't. And
we can end this podcast early if you want.
And he's leaning like towards his left, just like into the microphone. So that alone is great.
Thank you.
But
thank you.
Something happened today, Berlo.
Yes.
Something happened today that I'm not I don't know what I would feel about it, but I'm so glad it happened.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for the show, like putting a jacket on and stuff like that. Berlo goes to the bathroom. I'm sitting in my living room, which is right next to the bathroom. And all of a sudden, the door opens like he was done pissing. And I hear this weird Western accent going on. And I hear the voice going, "Yeah, you want to mess with me? You don't want to mess with me. You mess with me, you're going to get fucked up. You mess with me?" Like, and that doesn't even do it. I sounded more like a gangster there.
Yeah.
But he was, he came out of the bathroom. I said, "Berlo, are you talking to yourself?" And like, he almost had that like look of like a guilty kid, like when he like knocks over something and he's like, Yeah, I was. I looked in the mirror and made a funny face, and I started talking in a weird voice. I was doing a character. Yeah. You want some of this? You want some of this? You want some of this? Now, what the hell were you doing in there, man? You are fucking bizarre.
Well, again, we'll go back to kind of my nervous traits, if you will. I mean, I've kind of been public, and I wasn't the most social kind of kid growing up. I was kind of a loner, and you know, I have nervous traits and nervous tricks. I'm socially right. awkward, and just like going in tonight, I was kind of like, we weren't in the mood for tonight. We kind of foreseen what was gonna occur tonight, and it's just one of those things where I was trying to find something to get me into the mood for tonight.
So your face.
I went in the bathroom and I finished up, and I'm looking in the mirror, and it's just like it said. And like I'm going there and like doing weird faces like this.
Explain what you're doing because we're on the radio.
It's kind of hard to say. I'm like really like somehow sucking in my ear, my eyeballs, and like squinting and stuff like that. And I'm just looking in the mirror and I'm just laughing, you know, trying to get in the mood. And I'm like, all right, well, what would this person sound like? So I'm just like mouthing off, kind of like feeling, not even thinking I'm around somebody. And
there's
then
times
I come out,
that you
it's
wish,
like, Burla, were you doing that? It's like, oh. Yeah, I guess I was, man. There's nobody else in the house. There's nothing much I can really say, so.
There's some other weird things, Burlo. It's not
Go
just
on.
That. It's
Go
not
on.
Just that.
Keep going.
Let's talk about your phone and the game you like to play.
Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Burlo plays this game where he's like, what? So what is it, like DC characters?
Yeah, it's the DC characters. It's based off the video game that came out for like Xbox and PlayStation 4. And it's just like a fighting game where you play as like some of the DC characters, like Batman, the Joker, Superman, Wonder Woman, all that stuff. So, I mean, I just, once in a while, if I'm bored, I like playing like little games like that. So I just get intense with it.
I will look over at Burlo and he is like, like tapping on his screen 100 miles an hour.
Well, that's part of the game.
With this face of intensity, mm-hmm. like I'm fucking killing Batman right now,
yes.
or
yeah.
whoever it is.
I'm the Dark Knight.
Yeah,
now.
I am the Dark Knight. Why so serious? And
Why
he is
so
tapping.
Serious?
But it's funny because he'll play it like
intense.
We'll be in the middle of like a social setting, and he'll just veer off for three and a half minutes and just. Kick Batman's ass. It's so funny, man. It makes me laugh so hard inside. Like, I'm like, oh my God, Burlo. Because you'll hear like he's doing. He is so intense with it. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's a great game, and I'm enjoying it. It's one of those things. Again, going to my socialness, I'm kind of one of those guys. If bunch of people are talking, I realize, well, I really have nothing to add to this conversation. I'll just kind of go back in my zone. And it's like, ooh, I can be a Green Lantern.
One more thing is the Burlo recites like movie lines and songs from Weird Things, like word for word. Like the other day, he's like, you ever listen to Epic Rap Battles of History? And I'm like,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And he's like, I was like, yeah, I brought up the Carl episode or the one with Rick from.
Rick versus Breaking Bad.
Walter White.
Walter
and
White.
All of a sudden I hear him like, I'm Rick Motorhead. And he's like singing the word for word the Epic Battles song. Like, I'm dead. Can you do it for us?
Carl said, stay back with the others while I finish this bitch, while I finish your mother. You ain't the danger, Walt, so knock all you want. I'll knock off your bitch. Why is it on your fucking... I'm knocking off your desk like a fucking front lawn. Something like that.
That was
enough. Monsters don't frighten me, and you can bite me.
How many times have you watched that?
My tidy Walter Whitey.
How many times have you watched that video, Burlo?
That one was really good. I've probably watched it about 10 or 11 times. Those guys are awesome. We should get them on the show, too.
Yes. Yeah, we could email them.
Yeah.
Michael Burlo.
Got skills.
Michael Burlo, everyone. Michael Burlo.
You love me, people.
I do love him. At this moment, I'm going to take a break. Hey, we're back. Burlo, we're going to play a little game.
All right.
Okay, I want you to pick a number.
Any number in the world?
No, 1 through 10.
Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Give me the number.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
5.
5, okay. Now, what I'm doing with Burlo here is I'm having him pick a number, and I'm currently on the Craigslist missed connections.
Oh, nice.
So I want to read a couple of these just to just to lighten up the mood a little bit, because we just had like a big heart to heart. You
it's
know,
intriguing.
Life's not always easy, man. I'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, McDonald's, Ramsey Route 17 North. Nice guy, women for men. Hi, you were having lunch, and I think your mom, I would assume, she had a cane. No, she had cane. So that could be either she had. They missed A, or she had, like, cocaine. She had cane, and you were handsome at McDonald's and Ramsey around 2:20. Not sure your age, 50-ish, or marital status. I was in booth near you. If you are single and would like to talk, please email me back and tell me what kind of car you were driving. Smiley face.
The answer was a BMW.
Now, here's my question.
Okay.
Here's my question. You saw this guy at McDonald's that you loved. You loved. Right. You thought he was the best. He's handsome. What the hell makes you think that, because you thought he was handsome, he was going to stumble upon Craigslist and be like, holy shit, that girl wrote about me. Yeah. You know, like.
Every day I Google Mike Berlew was here and just look to see if anybody from Craigslist miss me, you know? It just, I guess some people are so desperate and all. They see these movies like Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, you got mail.
Yeah, you got mail, where it's just so these random things. It's like, oh no, it's so romantic and I'm going to meet up with him and he's going to be my Prince Charming and we're going to be together and have beautiful children together.
That's just fucked up. Like, I'm so glad that was the first one we read, because this could be a new bit. I just invented this like 20 minutes ago. But
awesome.
You were at McDonald's, and I saw you with your mother and her cane eating Big Macs together. And I thought you were Mr. Right. All right, Berlo, 1 through 10.
Let us go with number 8.
Number 8 on the list. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This could be a good one, too.
Ooh.
This could be a good one, too. Nice smile getting gas. Women for men. I got $7 of gas tonight. And you...
That's like 2 gallons. Wait a minute.
I got $7 of gas tonight, and you gave a big smile. Would like to be friends. No, okay. Would, W-U-D, like to be friends if you are single. You look 30. You look 30-something, big jacket. Send a snap so I know it's the right guy. Smiley face. You look 30-something, big jacket. Well, there's the name of this episode.
I don't... Just the randomness of... figuring somebody's going to be watching.
Well, that's the thing.
I was getting gas. I remember the human being who was obtaining $7 worth of...
Let's also play this game.
All right.
Let's think about what she looks like. Because I have an image in my head already. Because I got $7 of gas tonight, and you gave me a big smile. Would like, spell W-U-D, to be friends if you are single. I'm guessing...
All right.
She said, you look 30-something. So I'm thinking she thinks 30-something is much older. Okay, so I'm using my sleuth skills here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
$7 of gas tells me she's fucking really young. Because $7 of gas is embarrassing. Now, I'm a $20 here and there guy. I hate it. I hate it. I live $20 at a time. But
I usually do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember last time I filled my tank. Other than when I like go up to like George or something.
Yeah, I mean, I did it tonight just... on a whim, but yeah, for the most part, I wait till that thing gives me a little warning that says you're about to run out of gas, and then they put 20 in there, and I get up to a half a tank.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
The truck, my truck is like a little under half a tank with $20, so it's like, eh.
It got better since it came down. Once it went under $3, now $20 actually got you something.
So I'm thinking young... I'm thinking of freshman in college.
I was thinking the same thing.
Community college. Lives at home. She put this message up on her parents' computer and then tried to delete the history.
Deborah, what are you doing on my Apple?
Nothing, Daddy! And then would like to be friends if you are single. You look 30-something, big jacket. Can you send me a snap? I'm guessing that means Snapchat. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing.
I guess just slang for a pic, whether it's Snapchat or not.
Yeah, I think it's like Snapchat. Like, those kids love that shit. So that's what I'm going
with.
So
I'm on Craigslist. I have a jacket, and I have to have a Snapchat account.
I'm going with 18, very fat, very unsure of herself, and using typical like teenage English at this point.
I mean, What do you think? Fat. I would say middle range. I would say middle build.
Okay.
In my opinion, I could totally see her kind of like geeky kind of girl who maybe like socially awkward, where it's like I'm so not used to guys liking me, and the fact that you smiled at me means that we could maybe be something. You didn't understand, and all when you smiled and went away, that you could have had this. You know, break me. Yes. Come into my life.
Yes. We're going to do one more.
All right.
All right, Berlo. Pick 1 through 10. I'm going to move down to the next 10. So
I'm going to start with good old number 1.
Oh, my God. Please be as good as the title. Please be as good as the title.
What is the title, my friend?
Air Force Dad at the Army Air Force Game on November 1st, Women for Men, 50 West Point.
I'm liking it.
We talked at the Army Air Force game on Saturday, and I wish we talked more. You said you lived in New Jersey, 45 minutes from campus. It was so nice talking with you and felt there was a connection. You probably will never see this, but I had to send it. Now, there's a lot of things that throw me off here. Air Force Dad, okay? She says, we talked at the Army Air Force game on Saturday. I wish we talked more. Okay. Now, is she a young girl looking for the dad? Or is she saying that she's an older person looking for the dad?
I'm seeing older.
I'm seeing older, too. I'm thinking 50?
Yeah.
I think she saw a dad taking care of her kids, and he was taking care of his kids, and she was like, he's so dreamy and so good with his kids. I want to.
He's so stable. He's a person in the armed forces, so he's got good morals.
I'm thinking she's been divorced. Early though, she's been divorced for like 13 years. Yeah, I'm thinking long. Like she got married at like 20, like 20, like 18, 19. She got married, had a kid.
She's that young. She has a kid. Yeah,
has a kid, and she's like, we're divorced. I see this dad. He could be the new stepdad. He could be he could step into our family. He's at a West Point game. He's an Army guy. Oh my God. Like, he lives 45 minutes. The only thing that's thrown me off in this is you said you live 45 minutes from campus. Like, most people don't refer to it as, like, where's the Army Air Force game at? West Point?
I'm not sure if, like Air Force, I think they played their games out of California, if I recall.
Well, let's see. Maybe I could bring
Army,
it up.
I think they do it on this coast. I believe they usually either go use the Eagles or the Ravens fields to play their games.
Army Air Force was at West Point. Okay, so that throws a new loop into this. Maybe they're military people, which goes with my early marital thing, because Army people and people in the service get married very young, usually because of they get very, very good benefits to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe she was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
She was very large.
Okay.
She worked on aircraft carriers. She greased the bearings. And she...
Continue, Watson.
She married a Spanish guy named... Spanish guy named... he had a normal name, John, but his last name was Ramirez. Ooh. And he was from, like... he was from, like, Virginia. And she was from New Jersey.
Okay.
So... He talked her into marrying him. They had a kid. They were happy for about a year and a half. Things started going sour.
Okay.
They got divorced. The kid is now
not, say 12.
Yeah. Maybe like 11, 12. And now she's raising the kid on her own. And she's this dirty Air Force bitch. Dirty. Mm-hmm. Dirty. And she sees this clean, put together, maybe an army guy. Or maybe just a guy taking his kids. Probably a guy just from the neighborhood saying, you got to go see the armed forces. A stand-up dad. A dad who wants you to appreciate the armed forces.
A guy who America. You could figure, he could raise my son since my deadbeat husband couldn't do it.
And he got the tickets from his buddy Chaz, who, I don't know where I'm going with this. And he got the tickets. And
where did Chaz get the tickets? Yeah. Is he like a season ticket holder?
Yeah, he's an Army season ticket holder because his buddy Chaz was his college roommate, and then he went to the service to finish out his year, so he's been following the team, and that's their thing. They get together every once in a while to do
Army,
games.
It's not known for their football team, so I feel bad for Chaz.
Yes, but then what happened is she thought he was going to be she thought, if I talk to this guy, he will be the new patriarch of the family, and this family would go good, and he will help raise my kid, who just recently stabbed a preschooler with scissors.
See, this family needs structure, and, you know, her coming from an armed forces, you know, background, she needs that structure, and she's very upset, and she's trying to find it, and that's why she's seeking out this gentleman. Now, I'm going to say one part I would change about the story. Ooh. I do not think she's from New Jersey. I would say if they do, where is West Point? That's New York, right?
Yes.
I would say she's somewhere in the New England area. I'm going to go Vermont. Mm. And the reason I say that, I mean, with us knowing Jersey girls, they're generally like a stronger group where I could just see them sit back and go, I didn't get that guy. You know, I'm good looking enough. I'll find that next guy. I'm confident. But I could see, like, the New England types where they're kind of a little fragile. It's like, did I miss out on my true love? Did I miss out on the new father for my little son? What's the son's name?
I don't know.
I would say Gregory.
Ooh.
Like I like Gregory.
Gregory, but he has a Spanish middle name. It's like Gregory... Carlos. Gregory Carlos Ramirez is the kid's name.
This is a nice little story we got here.
How do you... I don't know where that came from. I literally just blacked out and just started ranting.
I think around the fourth beer we figured it out, my friend.
Yes, but I... Can you imagine that was, like, dead on accurate? And, like, every name was just a little bit off? Like, oh,
excuse
Chuck.
Me, my last name is Rodriguez. Hello.
Yes. Yes.
This is a fun little game we got here.
Yeah, this is a great game. I'm gonna save it. I'm not. I want to go one more, but I think I'm gonna save it for future cast.
You know what? Maybe our goal is to get these people together.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why God put that idea into
your
head.
Maybe I should email this woman as the dad that she saw. I saw your post on Facebook. I'm him, and see where we can go from there.
Mm. We could send Doug Max over to see her.
Well, yeah, we have Doug. We could use his pictures, and then I could talk to her through email.
Yes. Is this a joke? No.
This is brilliant.
I send emails through verbalshenanigans.
This is brilliant.
@gmail.com.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. We need to make this happen.
We need to get true love together.
Yes, and I'm going to stop.
We're like two... Cupids of comedy, if you will.
Yes.
Except less scare than that sounded.
Yes, back again. Just to take a little pee break. Berlo, you had you saw something interesting on Facebook this week.
Yeah, yesterday. It's kind of a boring day at work. Nobody was around. I was flipping through my Facebook, and a guy who's on my friends list, and he is the truest definition of what a Facebook friend is. It's a person who I've never talked to, who I've never been... mm, mm, mm. Did I keep on going, or are we letting the song go?
I thought we were talking about bang-banging.
Oh, okay. No. Like, the truest form of a Facebook friend where it's like, I had, like, one Facebook chat with him, like, in a chat room, and never talked to him again, but somehow we're Facebook friends. But in any case, he changed his profile picture to him shirtless with a shotgun pointed to his head.
I can confirm that he sent me a picture of the picture.
Yeah.
So he sent me a screen cap or something like that.
It was just such a surreal moment. Like, I didn't know. Like I said, I don't really know the guy. And, like, well, it was looked like something serious because obviously everybody who's his real friends were, like, posting under the picture. You know, dude, what the hell, blah, blah, blah. Dude, call me. Is this for real? And one of the weirdest things about it was as people were commenting, other people were liking the comments in such a stupid way. It's like, all right, this guy has a picture of him ready to blow his head off. I think this is not the time to just like somebody else's comment. If you know him, contact him. If you don't somewhat know him, just post on Facebook. Please don't do that. It's just so weird and kind of a sign of the social media world that we're in.
No, it's funny too. Like, not funny, but like I always like people will post like, you know, my grandma passed away today at blah 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 blah.
Like,
and it's like 50 likes, like. Were you liking that? Like, what is
were you
that?
Enjoying my grandmother passing?
What do you think about, though? Like people putting, like, they're about to commit suicide and, like, posting on a... I think that's the last attention cry, which is sad that it has to be done over something like Facebook, you know? Like, yeah. I mean, ultimately, it's sad to begin with, like, that someone would ever be that low.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were kind of, I think it was one of the summer shows, like, I remember we were talking about Robin Williams, when he commits suicide, and people kind of talk about, there was the people who was like, oh, he was depressed and everything, and we feel bad for him, and there was others who pretty much go, no, suicide is a selfish act, anybody who actually commits it is a very selfish person, doesn't care about his friends or family. It's pretty much what you said. It's the last gasp. Hey, I'm about to do it. Let's see if anybody loves me, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And I will say, I didn't know the guy, but I did actually attempt to act in a way. What basically, I clicked on his profile. Said he lived in a city in Indiana. I actually looked up the city's police department and called him and said, I don't know if this is going to help. I can't say you can find him, but this is the guy's name. He posted on Facebook that with a shotgun to his head, and he's listed as your city. So if there's any way you can look it up, you know, somebody send somebody over there. And it was just weird. They were kind of like, so how are you associated with the person? And it's like, I'm not associated with the person. This is Facebook. Well, can you tell me anything about him? And I didn't say it to him, but, like, the dumbest thing is, like, if I answer that question, it's like, well, he likes The Walking Dead, because that's the only thing I know about the gentleman. He thinks Shane is a dick. Does that help?
Maybe he wants to be a zombie.
Well, he's going to blow his brains out, so he can't do that.
That's correct. That's correct.
But about after I called, while I had the police on the phone, I refreshed his page, and about 5 minutes into the call, he changed it to him with, like, a smiling face, and I told him about that, and I still said, hey, if you can find this guy, somebody go over there and talk to him about counseling or whatever. And I don't know the full story. Like, today he posted his Facebook profile, now is him shirtless showing off a tattoo, so it's...
Like, was it a joke? Like, what was the attempt there?
For what he put under his comments, he talked about something... Like, I kind of tried to somewhat investigate, and there was, like, a girl posting photos to him on his page, and he's like, I can't live without you. Oh, you're so beautiful. I love you. I think it was some like weird attempt to show how much he loved her, just to say, if I can't be around you, I don't want to live. And that's just freaky, considering from what I saw the conversations, I'm really sure if he knows this person. And
it's just so sad. Like, and you think two things, like if that was like an attempt at a joke, that's like so fucking retarded. Mm-hmm. And then if it was that low where he was sick enough to do that, it's amazing what the human mind can, mind can corner you into, like where the choice is ending the thought of the human mind, which is always amazes me, you know?
I mean, just the triggers of just a random person who you have no relationship with to be so madly in love with, to pretty much go, if you're not with me, I'm not going to live another day in my life. And if he did a joke, brutal honesty, I hope he got some like crazy fine or arrested or something. It doesn't sound like that from, I mean, again, he posted something on Facebook today with a different picture, but it was kind of the weird thing was, as he posted on Facebook, it's like, yeah, the somebody, he named some name, came over and the cops were there and kind of talked to him. I'm kind of surprised he wasn't arrested. I believe attempted suicide is still a crime, for lack of a better term. It's a weird thing.
It's so weird that, like, I mean, I guess you could be charged. Well, I think you should be charged for, like, the expense of, like, the cops coming that shouldn't come from taxpayers' money and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, that should be the fine. But it is, like, in the schools, like, if, like, someone calls in a bomb threat, that gets, like, the bomb squad out there and everything, and that all costs money and time and everything like that. And it also takes people away from situations. Like, it takes the police away from situations that might actually happen, and they have to be there for a fake bomb threat or something like that. But,
And you got to take them seriously. We're in the day and age where... You can, I mean, even if it's like a 6-year-old calls up and says, I planted a bomb, you can't play around with it because heaven forbid something happens. And everybody's like, why didn't you take that seriously? He literally said that blah, 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 blah. And there's no joking around now.
Yeah, I got an interesting story. The other day, our district all of a sudden gave us these little things that are panic buttons. You have to, if something happens, you have to hit the two buttons and it will automatically go to the police that it hits a panic button.
So it's like a life alert bracelet.
It looks exactly like life alert. Now, I don't wear mine. I probably should cut that out on the air. I wear mine. I wear mine all the time.
Yes.
But someone at the high school hit the button. Okay.
Okay.
So the kids automatically go into lockdown, which is like you lock down classes and stuff like that, as if something's going to happen. Apparently, the teacher started freaking out, and someone called 911. And then someone else hit their panic button. So the police are getting multiple signals from the same high school.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they came in with, like, weapons drawn, like big weapons, like, you know, like
SWAT weapons.
Exactly. Red eyes and everything. And we're like pointing them at people who are moving and stuff like that. And it turned out all of this was because someone hit it accidentally. And the whole school was shut down for like 3.5 hours. Kids panicking, families driving to the school and picking up their children, and you know, like panic set in by panic, because it sets out an automatic like alert and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a different day and age we live in, man. November 13th.
Remind me again where I'm
going to
be.
You are going to be at the Brewfest, and I hope our listeners are going to be at the Brewfest. I think I have.
Come see us live, people.
I think I have at least two of my friends coming to hang out. And come drink some beers. And if you enter shenanigans,
S-H-E-N-A-N-I-G-A-N-S.
Correct. So shenanigans. And if you have to, look up verbal shenanigans on Google. And yes, we will pop up on Stitcher. We'll pop up on iTunes. Maybe Podbean. A website is in the work. And Instagram is in the work. All these things are coming for you. People are our fans. I hope you keep spreading the podcast.
We're just going to grow.
Yes. We're just going to continuously grow.
Get some awesome guests.
Like a tumor. And we are just going to not.
And we're going to kill
everybody? Yes. Burlew, you have anything to plug? Keep in mind, this is a week and a half ahead.
Week and a half ahead. Let's see. I believe we are doing the in East Windsor. What is that bar's name? We're in East Windsor, people. Just find us.
We're going to be in Hightstown.
Cold something.
We're going to be in Hightstown on the 20. The 29th. I want to plug. I'm going to be at the Oak Barrel in West Orange on December 3rd.
We're also doing our friend Steve Schwartz's show at the Community College in December.
Yes, December.
I will be advertised. Certain other people won't.
Yes. December 11th, Michael Burlew will be at the Raritan Valley Community College show, which we loved. The first time we did it, it was fantastic.
Amazing crowd.
Great
Steve
crowd.
Steve puts on a great show, and Steve, it goes to a good cause.
Steve, it all goes to hemophilia. So it went to a great cause, and really beautiful venue. Beautiful venue. It's a beautiful theater, a community theater. So you should come out. And
let's not forget our relaunch of our other.
That's what I was about to say. The Johnny Wasson Show is relaunching on the 23rd of November. We're going to do the second show the 24th. And then after that, you could hear us on Mondays, every single Monday until the summer. Show times haven't been established completely, but somewhere around 7:30 to 9:30, you can hear us.
We're tentative for... The Sunday show will be on there at 2 p.m., so come down to Scotty's Steakhouse. Come see us live. Afterwards,
eat
watch some
football.
And the first show, we're tentative for 8 p.m. Probably eventually when we get all the kinks out of our systems, we're going to go back down to 7, but start thinking at 8 p.m. to begin with.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
That's the Johnny Watson show. We are part of that. Cool, we are big contributors to that, and we spend a lot of time on that, really. And is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Great comics on there. Johnny Watson, Chips Cooney every single week. Who doesn't love Chips Cooney?
Chips the man. And we got a ton of new equipment, people. We're going to be state of the art. So
yep.
You're going to have see some amazing stuff. So keep listening to Verbal Shenanigans, but set a little bit of time aside for the Johnny Watson show.
Verbal Shenanigans loves you. I love you. Keep the wind at your back. And once again, I love you.
Cheers, my friend.